to our team, you're welcome to have a seat. Teenagers, high school students, you can quickly move out. While they do that, I want to ask a strange question maybe this morning. Anyone who is over 80 years old, don't you want to stand up quickly? You want to see if there's anyone over the age of 80? Basil, that's you. Rise. He can't hear that well. Anyone else over the age of 80? Is it only Basil? There's another one. Hoe oud jy, MP? 80, op die kop. Jy het net gemaak vanmôre. Let's give them a hand. Is there another one? Okay. There's another one hiding over there. Thank you, MP. I can sit. The reason why I want to do that this morning is that because it is Basil's birthday tomorrow, and he'll be turning 89, so 1 year short from 90 years. But we have other people in that age bracket. I popped in quickly in the mother's room this morning, said hi to a couple of people there. It's just, you see these small little babies, and then the other side you have people in their 80s. I walked into one of the children's classrooms this morning, and I just saw the kids playing on the floor. Teenagers have left. We are back. We are left for the boring teaching, as Mark announced it this morning. So welcome to the boring teaching. Church is a unique place where people of different ages can come together. There's no other space like this that exists in the world. If you're in school, you're a student. That's the age group. If you're in university, that's the age group. Even work stops and it's between a certain age. But this is a space where a baby that was just born and someone who will turn 89 tomorrow can come together. And in that space, we can learn and we can learn from each other and we can appreciate and we can see the different phases of life. I was standing by the door, last story, I was speaking to Isaac and someone walked in with four kids. And I said to Isaac, aren't you glad you don't have four kids? He's got three kids. Says he's very glad he doesn't have four kids. But he's also very glad that they're out of his hands. It's different seasons. But that person walking in and those kids, that moment was real for them. There was their moment. It's a moment that they are in. So that's a fairly long introduction to get to where we want to be. We want to talk about reigning in life over the next few Sundays. And that will imply the different phases, the different areas of our lives. And within all of those spaces, God wants us to reign. And we will try and unpack that a little bit and see what that means. And part of our journey is we want to go back to the Old Testament. We want to look at the kings of Israel and Judah. And we want to look at their reign. What happened in their kingdom? What did they do right? What did they do wrong? What can we learn from them? And how can we apply it to our lives so that we can reign in the life that we have, the space, the area, the age bracket that we find ourselves in? So the foundational scripture for the series will be Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And if you read that, this is not a standalone scripture. Paul has been building up to this place for five chapters. And I encourage you, if you have the time, or make the time if you don't have the time, go read that. Go read what Paul says, because he says this, and he says, because of this, now this, and because of this, now this. And he gets to this place that because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done, we get to be in a place where we can reign in life. I'm going to make a comment. I was chatting to someone. I'm seeing them. Yeah, they reminded me of that. When I saw them, I was reminded of that. Chatting to the person, he said, years ago, he read a book. And I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was Kingdom Kids or Kids of the King or something like that. Can't remember exactly the title. And he said that this person made the comment that he doesn't stand in a line. because he's a king or a kid of the king. And the person said he read the first couple of pages and then he could not read anymore because something within him just couldn't associate with that. So this is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the fact that we are removed from the reality of life. We are talking about the fact that in the midst of that reality, we can step out as conquerors. We can reign in life. And if you look at that scripture, the three things that obviously stand out is that we need to receive God's abundant grace. If we want to reign in life, we have to receive God's abundant grace. We need to receive the gift of righteousness, the fact that God makes us right with God through the death of Jesus Christ. And the key that we're going to focus on a little bit this morning is it is through Jesus Christ. If you want to try and reign on your own, it's not going to work. You can only reign through Jesus Christ. In fact, it says of Jesus in Luke 1, you will conceive, the angel is speaking to Mary, and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. That's the kingdom that we are a part of. He's the king, but we are co-heirs with him. We reign with him. And then in Revelations it says, then the seventh angel blew its trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. It's announced with the birth of Jesus. It will be fulfilled when Jesus returns and the kingdom becomes his. So we are called to rule with him and reign with him. This morning we want to talk about this phrase. If I want to be reigning in life, I need to be secure. We want to talk about that for a moment. So what does this word secure mean? It's an adjective, so it describes the condition of something. It means to be fixed or fastened so as to not give way, become loose, or be lost. It means that I'm secure. So I want to maybe use this illustration. Mark, if you can come help me. If Mark is about to get married, so this is his future very shortly, someone will direct him and show him where everything must be. So if I want to hang a painting on a wall, let me move this out of the way so we can do this. If I want to hang this onto the wall, I need a nail. Well, we don't have nails anymore. We have screws these days. We have these nice little screws. So I can clip it in there and it will hang. But you can immediately begin to see the problem. If this thing is not secure in the wall, it will not be able to fulfill its purpose. So the purpose of this thing in this context is to have this picture hang. But unless it is secure in the wall, it will not be able to fulfill its purpose. So let me try and show you what that looks like if it's no longer secure. Thank you, Mark. He's a good catcher. So let's look at one of the first kings, or the first king. And when we look at the life of Saul, one of the things that stands out, there's two things, and we look at both of them. The first one is his insecurity. Here's this man, he's the king, but he doesn't have the ability to reign because of his insecurity. It's actually quite interesting. It says he was 30 when he became king, and he ruled or he reigned for 42 years. So he had quite a long kingship or rulership. And yet in the midst of that, there's not a lot that really happens. The nation doesn't go forward. And it all rests and it all comes back to the insecurity of this man. Yet when Saul is introduced, we read the following. There was a wealthy, influential man named Kish, that's Saul's father, from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of so-and-so and so-and-so, and his son, Saul, was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else. So if we look at Saul, there is wealth, there is influence or power. I don't think we use the word influence so much, we'll use the word power today. He was handsome, he was attractive, and he stood out. And yet in the midst of that, he's completely insecure. So what happens is Samuel comes and he anoints Saul. So Saul knows that he's the king. He's been anointed by God. There's a number of signs that happens after he's anointed. So God confirms that this will be the truth. You will be the king. And then Samuel gathers the whole nation and they begin to cast lot, because that's the way in those times, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit talking to them, how they would hear God and God would lead them. And they would cast a lot to see which tribe, which family within that tribe, and eventually which person would be the king. And they brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of Matesh was chosen. And finally Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But listen to this. When they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He's hiding amongst the baggage." Wealth, power, fame, fortune. And yet when you look a little bit deeper, there's nothing inside him. There's no security within him. And he becomes like that nail or that screw that doesn't have the ability. It's not secure. So he's put into the wall to be the king, but he's not able to sustain that. He's not able to stay there. So if we look at a couple of stories from the life of Saul. So they go into battle, and the practice was that the priest would come and he would perform a burnt offering to ensure the favor of God for this battle. And there was an agreement with Samuel that Samuel would come within 7 days to perform this sacrifice to God, to call for God's blessing on this battle that which is about to take place. And Samuel doesn't come. Samuel is a little bit late. Sometimes God is a little bit late because he wants to see what is happening on the inside of our hearts. And Saul decides, Samuel is not coming. I'm going to do this myself. Now, we need to understand that as king, he was not authorized to do that. Only the priest could perform that function. He could not just step into that role and try and fulfill that role. It was a role reserved for the priest. And he took that role upon himself. He did the burnt offering, himself. It says in 1 Samuel 13, just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. So Samuel was not really late. God is not really late either. And Saul went out to meet and welcome him. But Samuel said, "What is this that you have done?" Listen to Saul's response. "I saw my men scattering from me." As a leader, he was unable to command his troops. Because they were waiting for Samuel and Samuel was not there, and he didn't have the ability within himself. He was not secure in that which God called him for. He didn't have the ability to keep his men with him. And you didn't arrive when you said you would. Insecurity will always blame someone else. And the Philistines were ready for the battle. "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You had not kept the command of the Lord your God. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." And in the very first king, one of the very first things that he does, we see how everything falls apart. And he's not able to sustain his kingdom and rule forever. So the second thing that Samuel does Saul does, and we look at that in a week or two, is his disobedience. You see, his insecurity led him to be disobedient. And because of that, his kingdom gets taken away from him. So, there's an interesting story that plays out in 1 Samuel 14, if I have it right. 16 or 14, I'll get the number now. So, again, there's a battle. And nothing is happening in this battle. There's a stalemate. So as a leader, he's unable to rule. He's unable to take his men forward. Jonathan, his son, with his armor bearer, decides, we're going to go up and we're going to attack the Philistines by ourselves, just the two of us. So the clan climb up a hill, and the Philistines say to them, come over here, let's kill you. And they come and they begin to attack these Philistines, just the two of them. And eventually, the whole camp is thrown into chaos and they begin to run away. And now, Saul responds. And he sets his army to chase after them and to destroy them. But because of his insecurity, he makes a very silly thing, a very silly comment. He says, no one will be allowed to eat anything until the Philistine army is completely destroyed. Now just think about that. That makes no sense. It's like your boss saying to you, no one will leave this room until this project is finished. You see, a secure leader will come and sit with you and say, do you need a 5-minute break? You need a half an hour break. Take a walk, come back, and we'll tackle this project again. An insecure leader comes in, barks orders, and makes it even more difficult for the people to fulfill their purpose. Jonathan doesn't know about this. He doesn't heard what his father has done. So as Jonathan comes back, he sticks his spear into a beehive, dips it, pulls it up, and he eats a little bit of the honey. And he's revived. He's strengthened. So Saul inquires of God. He says in Samuel 14, so Saul asks God, should we go after the Philistines? Will you help us defeat him? But God made no reply that day. God doesn't speak to Saul anymore. He doesn't answer him anymore. Jonathan himself says about his father, my father has made trouble for us, Jonathan exclaims. A command like that one only hurts us. See how refreshed I am now that I have eaten this little bit of honey. If the men had been allowed to eat freely from the food that they found among the enemies, think how many more Philistines we would have killed. They chased and killed the Philistines all day from Mishar to that place, growing more and more faint. And we see the insecurity of Saul coming to the front. And we see his kingdom falling apart because of the insecurity that he carried within him. Last one. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns in Israel came out to meet Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This is what their song was. Saul had killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? They said. They credit David with 10,000s and me only with thousands. Next they'll be making him their king. It's an insecurity of a man coming out. He's the king. If he was only secure enough to accept that. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So friends, you can only be insecure, or you can be secure in something else. You can only be insecure, or you can be secure in. And in our context as Christians, that security comes from Christ. If you are not secure in Christ, you will be insecure. And if you are insecure, you will not be able to reign in life. God will give you promise after promise, blessing after blessing, but things will continue to fall apart because your insecurity will not be able to contain it because you are not secure as that nail is within the wall. If the nail is secure within the wall, if it is fastened, if it cannot come loose, if it is secure, it will be able to fulfill its purpose. Part of your purpose, part of the reason why God has called you, what He's called you for, is that you would reign in life. That you would step out of this building, you would step into this world filled with all of these challenges, but that you would be victorious, that you would stand out, that people would be able to see there's something different about you. You are a child of the King. And in the example we used earlier, that does not mean I don't stand in a queue, everything just opens up for me, and everything is pasala. No. But it means in the midst of that, I get to stand and I get to battle. You mentioned last week, sometimes systems are against us. And in this world, we will forever be dealing with systems. We call it red tape. Call it bureaucracy. Call it whatever you want. But sometimes the systems of this world will frustrate us. Sometimes the systems of this world just works differently for us. So, let me tell you a story about red tape. So, a number of years ago, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I can't remember, we were doing an extension at our house, and the extension we were building was not part of the original plan. So I had to submit new plans. Now, plans take time. Plans take a long, long time to get approved. Even in those days, I think it might be slightly worse now. So what happens is I go and I submit these plans, and let me tell you the story, the background story. So at that stage, we were planning a building extension at the church as well that eventually didn't happen. But we submitted the plans, and the plans got lost. And with my interaction with the courier, the guy who takes it from the one department to the next department to get it signed, he eventually came to me and he said, "Sorry, the plans are lost. I don't know. It's my fault. Sorry." I said, "No problem. We resubmitted the plans and the things come." And this guy says to me, "If you ever need a favor, come to me." So now I need a favor. I need my plans to be approved. And I go to him and I say, "Here's my plans." And he says to me, "Come back tomorrow. The plans will be done." So the next morning I arrive at the planning department and I say, "I'm here to collect my plans." And the lady behind the counter says, "Great. When did you submit them?" I say, "Yesterday." You should have seen the look on her face. Obviously, she presumed that I bribed something or someone to get this done. And she wasn't convinced, but she eventually walked back. And she got my plans for me. You see, I was able to reign in life in that moment. The system doesn't allow for that. The system says it will take 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and it will be stuck here, and this guy will complain, it will be lost there, then you'll have to resubmit. That's the system. But as a child of God, I had the favor of God. Part of the reason probably why I had the favor of God is because I probably acted like a Christian should when this person lost my plans, and I showed him some kindness. See, we are called to reign in life. We can only do that if we are secure in Christ. So let's take a moment to spend some time on this. I will, when we're done with this service, I'm going to send you a document on the WhatsApp group. So if you've not gotten that, Mark, can we put that number up at the end again? So if you don't get messages from us, we'll put that number up at the end. Just take that number down, send us a message, and you'll get it. It's an 18-page document listing all the scriptures regarding in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, by His name, by His blood. And if you begin to read through that, you begin to see the enormity of the security that we have within Christ. And if I'm secure in that, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to reign in life. I'm going to be like that nail in the wall. I'm going to be secure in my position, and I'll be able to fulfill my purpose. The picture will hang. It will not fall. And if you want to be secure in doing what God has called you to do, you've got to be secure in Christ. So let's look at a couple of these verses and read through them, maybe say a couple of things, and then we'll close the service. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. It's one of the foundational scriptures of our salvation. That once we are in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. We have been made new. We have been transformed. The moment we begin to believe that, the insecurity that we have on the inside will begin to shift, and we will become secure in Christ, and we will be able to reign in life. Romans 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What is the most challenging thing that we sometimes have to face is when we think of our past, when we think of what we've done, when we think of where we've been, and those insecurities sit with us. And when we come to church and the preacher says, but you can reign in life, you can be successful, you can prosper, you can be victorious. Your head says, yes, I agree with that. But deep inside, there's an insecurity that says, but because of what I've done in the past, it probably does not apply to me. You're no longer secure. You're not able to reign in life. God comes and He wipes clean the past. His blood is enough. His sacrifice is enough. It's a beautiful scripture. I haven't got it here. It says that He comes and He cleanses our conscience. He wipes it clean. If you look at the examples in the Bible, we find Moses, who's considered a murderer. He killed that Egyptian. And yet he didn't allow that insecurity to stand in the way when he was called to reign, to lead. Paul, one of the greatest figures in the New Testament church, is credited to be a murderer. He stood by and he witnessed, he would condone the murder of Stephen. And yet God comes and He wipes that away. And Paul is able to reign in life. He's able to fulfill his purpose. He's able to stand because he is secure in Christ. I don't know what you've done. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter. There's no condemnation if we are in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you want to know how to reign, take this scripture to heart. Make this your prayer. God, you promised that you will bless me with every spiritual blessing that there is in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God, I need you to work that out in my life. Every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for all of us. So there's a purpose to your life. There's a reason why you are here. And that reason is for you to rule and to reign in the area that God has given you. He's prepared it for you in Christ. It's yours. But if I allow the insecurities to step in, I will never step into that space. Ephesians 2:6-7. God raises us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Our position has changed. We are seated with Him in heavenly places, in order that in the age that is to come, He might show the incomparably richness of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I love this scripture because in my mind, if I simplify it, I become God's trophy. I become His showpiece. You become His showpiece. He's elevated you to this high place, and he points to you and he says, look, everyone, this is what my grace has done. This is what my mercy has done. This is what my love has done. This is what my enablement has done. This person was not able to rule and reign, but the moment that they drew into me, and my blessings and my favor and my enablement, and me making them a new person, and me wiping away the past. Look at what I have done. Friend, you are his trophy. The scripture refers to the end times, when God will point and he will show, this is what I have done. This is what I have accomplished. And you and I become that trophy. Reigning in life will show everyone, all the rulers, all the principalities, all the demons, Satan himself, how wonderful God is and what he is able to do. We've got a couple more. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of the glory of his glory that is in Christ Jesus. For some of us, that's just very practical. We need food on our table this afternoon. But for some of us, that's something a little bit bigger. You see, our need is not just the food on our table, but our need is tomorrow morning when we have to walk back into a workplace and we have to lead a team. Maybe we have to go back this afternoon, and as a mother and a father, we need to lead our children. Probably, if you've never experienced this, for the younger people, the most humbling thing that there is in life is becoming a parent. Because all of your insecurities will come out. But if you allow those insecurities to come out, you will not be able to lead your family. And God has the ability to provide whatever you need because of the riches of his glory. I'm going to skip to the last one. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are called to reign in life. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. Let me put you at ease. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Because I want to ask you to think about your insecurities for a moment. Sometimes they're hidden. We can't see them that clearly. Lord, can we ask that you would show us what's happening in our hearts? Would you show us the places where we are insecure? We are not firmly fixed to you. We have not allowed the truth of being in Christ to work through in that particular area. When it comes to reigning in life, we fail time and time again. As parents, as children, in our workplace, in our leadership roles, because we allow these insecurities to come in and we make decisions from that space. Lord, show us. I want to ask that you take a hold of that insecurity, that you give it over to God. Father, we thank you that in Christ we are secure, we are firm, we are fixed, we cannot be loosened. And this morning we run back to Christ. We want our lives to be hidden in him, so that what comes out of our lives is no longer us, but it is Christ living through us. Jesus Christ, you reign. Your kingdom will last forever. We are your children. Thank you that we rule and reign with you. Thank you that you make us your trophy. Thank you that you point to us and you say, that is what my grace did. That is what the enablement of being in Christ has done for that person. They are able to rule and reign in life. God, would you help us as we parent, as we live our everyday life, where we lead, where we follow, where we serve, where we are the focus of our attention and where we are not the focus of our attention. Would you allow this truth that we are secure in Christ to shine through? Allow us to lead in life. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we'd love to pray with you. If you have any prayer requests, we'll have a prayer team in front. Maybe it's related to this topic. Maybe it's just a struggle that you have in your personal life right now. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to stand with you. And we'd love to see you reigning in life in that situation. There's a nice cup of coffee in the hall for free. Soul is open if you want to buy a cup of coffee. And we'll see you next week as we continue to unpack this journey of reigning in life through Christ.